Fire gives strength, energy and power and will be central in this year's Garma Festival in the Northern Territory. Australia's largest Indigenous cultural festival attracts thousands of people to northeast Arnhem Land each year. Held at Gukla, a significant ceremonial site about 40 kilometres from Nhulunbuy on the Gove Peninsula, the festival showcases Yolngu culture through traditional art, song, dance and storytelling. The event is also a space for discussion and debate on the challenges facing First Nations people, attracting people in political, business, academic and philanthropic sectors from across Australia and internationally. This year's event, beginning today, is the first Garma Festival since the defeat of the referendum for an Indigenous voice to Parliament. Yothu Yindi Foundation Chairman Jawa Yunapingu says this year's Garma looks toward the future. New data shows many socioeconomic targets for Indigenous Australians are not being met, with only 5 out of 19 closing the gap targets on track. Advocates say Indigenous Australians are disappointed and frustrated, with some saying that the government approaches aimed at reducing Indigenous disadvantage are not working. The Commission's report was based on data first released in February, showing the targets to reduce rates of incarceration, out-of-home care and suicide not on track. New Indigenous Australians Minister Malandiri McCarthy says a bipartisan approach is needed for meaningful reform.
We have the highest suicides of First Nations people. We have the highest rates of incarceration. I will be striving to reach across the parliamentary divide to ensure that there are certain areas of Aboriginal affairs where we should be untouched in terms of being a political football. And I will be striving to do my best to bring different political allegiances together on that issue.
There are calls for a better awareness campaign in Indigenous communities to increase education around the imminent 3G shutdown across Australia. The major telcos are closing their 3G networks from the end of August. It'll mean devices like phones, FPOS machines, medical alarms and security cameras which rely on 3G will stop working. Dot West from the First Nations Digital Inclusion Advisory Group says the current campaign informing Indigenous communities hasn't been good enough.
We've spoken to people within communities, and the lack of awareness of actually 3G shutting down is not there or is very limited. So there really needs to be some targeted messages to community about this shutdown.
The 3G network is being switched off in stages to make way for 4G and 5G technologies. The Queensland Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnership has announced an agreement that it will see several First Nations artefacts returned to home soil. The agreement was made with the Museum of Vancouver, where the artefacts are currently being held, and was reached after days of negotiations. The items will be stored at the Queensland Museum when they arrive in Australia, before they are returned to their respective communities. This agreement is part of state government's ongoing work to secure the return of sacred artefacts from museums and institutions around the world. Thousands of protesters across Nigeria have launched the start of a 10-day planned demonstration vowing to express anger over the cost of living crisis which has engulfed the nation. Frustration has spilled over since President Bola Tinubu took office more than a year ago, with inflation at a 28-year high. A strong police and security presence has been in place across Abuja and Lagos, the country's biggest city, in an attempt to deter demonstrations. The protesters say they are fed up.
We are tired of being hungry. We cannot even feed our children. We cannot buy tomato. Tomato and pepper. Pepper is 1,000. The poor cannot survive. Please, we need you to change the government.
Worried about a surge in violence, the government has appealed for protesters to stand down, and it says it's open to dialogue with the organisers. Police are investigating whether gas or fumes may have killed two people on a yacht moored off Sydney's North Shore. Water police on Wednesday night discovered the bodies of a man and a woman aged in their 60s in the vessel's cabin after a friend reported them missing since Monday. A number of items were taken for forensic examination, including two cars parked near the boat belonging to the man and woman. Detective Inspector Siobhan Munro says the pair had no external or obvious injuries.
So when police boarded the vessel, they thought they may have smelt some type of gas or fume. So all precaution was taken with the fire brigade notified, and that is definitely a line of inquiry under investigation. In a matter like this, we don't know what has happened. There's no obvious cause of death, and police attended, so nothing's been discounted. We're still making inquiries and speaking with family. Obviously, it's distressing for any family member.
Police are urging anyone with information to contact Crime Stoppers. Australia's longest-serving chief prosecutor says cannabis should be legalised for recreational use and access should be seen as a fundamental right. Speaking at a landmark New South Wales parliamentary inquiry into the impact of cannabis regulation, Nicholas Cowdery has argued the current criminal justice framework is ill-equipped to deal with drug use. He says a person's choice to use a substance without harming others should be considered a human right. Inquiry Chair and Legalised Cannabis MP Jeremy Buckingham says cannabis prohibition puts money in the hands of organised crime groups.
Cannabis legalisation is a matter of when, not if. Chris Minns can't continue to stick his head in the sand when it comes to cannabis legalisation. The ACT, Germany, the USA and Canada have all moved to cannabis legalisation. It makes socio-economic sense and it's saving taxpayers billions of dollars.
A statue of former Senator Susan Ryan has been unveiled on the 40th anniversary of the Sex Discrimination Act. Senator Ryan was the architect of the Act, which prevents discrimination based on sex or relationship status and outlaws sexual harassment within the workplace. The statue is the third of a woman in the area surrounding Parliament House. In an interview with SBS, Dame Quinton Brice, Australia's first female Governor-General, reflected on the progress the country has made and says she remembers when in 1966 the rule forcing women to resign from work upon marriage was lifted.
I was a young woman out of university moving into a career at that time. And I had no idea that when I got married, I'd have to resign. I mean, what would you think of that? It's just so extraordinary. I mean, it does show why it's very important to know our history.
This week, Rex Airlines announced it's entered into voluntary administration, with its flights between major airports cancelled and the airline's fleet of 737s grounded. It comes after the company halted share trading on Monday. Ernst & Young has been appointed as administrators. Rex says its regional flights are continuing to operate while Virgin Australia is offering customers on the grounded capital city routes the opportunity to rebook on Virgin Australia free of charge. A program helping First Nations people prepare for careers as firefighters is celebrating its 10th anniversary. The Indigenous Fire and Rescue Employment Strategy is run by TAFE and Fire and Rescue New South Wales. Over 6 months, participants earn a Certificate 3 in fitness and gain practical experience in simulated emergencies. They also gain a better understanding of the recruitment process. More than 80 Indigenous people like Jai Doyle have become firefighters through the program.
I like to think if you can see it, you can be it. So the more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we see within our ranks, the more the community gets to see those faces and the more community are able to go, hey, I'm able to be that person, I'm able to be that job, and maybe it's a career they haven't thought about.
And in sport, Australia's women's 4x200-metre freestyle relay team has won the country's 8th gold medal of the Paris Games. Molly O'Callaghan, Lani Pallister, Bree Throssell and Ariane Titmus achieved an Olympic record time of 7 minutes and 38.08 seconds. It's Pallister's first Olympic gold at her debut Games. She almost missed being in the relay after contracting COVID. Pallister says she cried with joy after winning gold. Team USA took silver in the 4x200-metre swimming relay, making Katie Ledecky the most decorated American woman in Olympic history with her 13th medal. And that is NITV Radio's news wrap of the week.